Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Hello everybody, welcome back to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with me, your host, A.P. Fuchs. Today, we're doing episode number 8, and for me, it's a special episode because it's the 8th episode, and I have an inside joke running with my friends regarding the number 8. There's a whole history behind it. It's only funny to us because it's on the inside, so I'm not even going to bother explaining it here, but regardless, we're going to do this, and I have something here that I'm going to reveal in a moment to commemorate the 8th episode, but this is also the glasses edition. That's right, I'm wearing glasses right now for those tuning in via audio. I don't normally wear glasses. These are readers that I'm wearing. I do it when I have to read small text. I need to put something on to magnify it a bit. I have not been to the optometrist in 28 years. That sounds terrible, I know, and I'm probably going to get a cyber slap on the wrist for that, but so my eyes could be like slowly degrading, like over time the slope very 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 gradual, and I would never notice, you know. So I should get checked out, just to, especially given the line of work that I do with the art and the writing and stuff, it'd be good to see, you know, to be able to see clearly. Anyway, what I have here in the studio with me is a magic 8-ball, and that's what makes it special, this episode, again, 8, all right? So this magic 8-ball, again, for those tuning in via audio, it's about the size of a softball, and it's yellow. It's got the 8 on it, like a normal pool ball would, and then also it has the Superman emblem on it as well. So we're going to use this to dictate this first portion of the episode before we get into story time. So, first question is, should I talk about the movie, the horror movie, well, horror/comedy movie that I was originally going to talk about? Let's see what the ball says. Shake, shake, shake. It says, let's see here. Oh, I'm still shaking it, man. And it says, most likely. Okay. Well, I guess most likely I'm going to talk about what I like. So here we are. Thanks, Magic 8-Ball. You did a great job. You did a super job. Anyway, okay, we'll put that aside. And yeah, so what I was going to talk about was the movie that we all love, that everybody adored when it came out, and it's called Shaun of the Dead. We all love that zombie movie because it's a zombie comedy, and it's British, in terms of British humor, which makes it even better because British humor is brilliant. I love, as a humorist myself, I like subtle humor, you know, little comments, little bits of wit, very, very subtle, sort of under the table, shot to the, you know what, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so from that point of view, the movie, brilliant. Storyline, if you've seen it, which most people have, again, very brilliant. Two misfits, zombie apocalypse, they got to make their way from a dangerous place to a safer place, and of course there's relationship issues going on at the same time for the main character, played by Simon Pegg, who plays Shaun, of course, hence the name of the movie, Shaun of the Dead, which is obviously a takeoff of George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. And yeah, great movie. In terms of the zombies themselves, they look fantastic. In terms of the zombie gore side of things, you know, when you got to take them out, they did a good job, actually, in terms of, like, yes, there was gore, and yes, there was blood and guts, but at the same time, it wasn't so over the top that, like, it ruined the comedy, you know what I'm saying? Like, because some comedy movies, they just go way too overboard, and then it's not funny anymore. So, Shaun of the Dead did a great job doing that, and that's like my little review / recap of the film. And of course we all know that Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, the actor who played Ed in Shaun of the Dead, and the one who I quoted about dogs can't looking up on another episode at the end of one. They do those buddy movies, you know, like Hot Fuzz is the other one they're in, and everyone loved it, you know, and that space age sci-fi one called Paul, you know. And it's doing, Shaun of the Dead was directed by Edgar Wright, who's got his own sort of signature style of directing, especially these little sequences of things happening very, very quickly in a sort of rush sort of way. You know, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. For example, the scene where Shaun gets ready for work and he puts jam on the bread, goes to the bathroom, and just how that sequence happens all in like 3 seconds. It's really cool. But anyway, see Shaun of the Dead if you haven't. Okay. Well, now, on the creative front, here's something interesting. So many, 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 many years ago, I created what's called a bookazine. A bookazine is not an unheard of thing. They existed before I made my own. A bookazine sounds basically what it is. It's like a book magazine. Reader's Digest is kind of an example of that. And so I had two volumes that I created, and they're fun to put together. They contain essays, short stories, some poetry, some commentary, some articles, sort of a compilation of things. It fell under the banner called Bumper Sticker Shine. That was sort of the name of the series. And then the first bookazine in that series was called Dry Ice Dreams. And it's the cover is cool, black and white, this sort of a collage style cover. And then the second one is called The Macro Mechanics Manifesto. And it's a red cover with, again, more that collage style of graphic put together to make it appealing. They didn't do very well, I'll be honest. You know, I was disappointed. I put them together and I put the effort in, and then they didn't do well. And then I wondered why, and I pulled them from print, and just because it wasn't worth paying the cost of their distribution when there was no sales. You know, and so I thought about it, but then I realized, dumb idiot, you've been marketing to the wrong audience. At the time, it was like to the horror crowd. And I'm like, well, no, you gotta go to the zine crowd, the underground crowd, the guys and girls who like this type of DIY, or no, DIY. way of doing things, you know, putting stuff together yourself. I mean, there's guys who do that all the time. They're great at it. John Porcellino is one of them. Alec Longstreth, Julia Wirtz, you know, the zine, which is a review zine called Xerography Debt. I mean, that's the crowd, you know, Simon Morton, like, go over there. So maybe going forward, we'll see. I will, pursue these things again. But you know what, guys? Guess what's happening on the camera right now? We're at the 8-minute mark. So since this is episode 8, and we just hit the 8-minute mark, I'm going to say goodbye for now, and I'm going to let you listen in on a story. So tune your ears up, and here we go. Episode 8, The Split. It was her picture that always got to him, and tonight was no different. Gabriel stood before the picture of Valerie on the nightstand beside his bed. He picked it up, held it, almost as if he was holding her. She was everything. Brown hair, brown eyes, forceful yet tender, and that little smile that said, "I know something you don't." He wondered if that little smile was that she loved him as much as he loved her. He looked down at himself. He wore his Axiom Man uniform, dark blue tights with a light blue cape, light blue gloves, and a light blue stretch of tough fabric that ran diagonally across his chest, like the tough fabric over his heart. He hadn't put the mask on yet, one of the many he wore. One of them, his glasses, were on the nightstand too. Should he let her in? Completely let her in? Valerie wasn't just some girl he knew. She represented what life could be. A home, a family, someone to love each and every day. The costume he wore was something else. The costume wasn't a warm home filled with Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving and mowing the lawn in a small pool in the backyard. It was a symbol of truth and hope for a city that was barely hanging on. It was light in a dark place, yet also light slowly being consumed by the shadows and filth that coated Winnipeg's streets. Deep down, Gabriel knew he couldn't have it both ways. While it was true both paths led to a better place, one certainly outweighed the other. Valerie was about her, himself, and those they'd influenced through family and friends. Being Axiom Man, that was about impacting the city, even the world, and pointing the way to a life where crime and war and evil weren't common. But there was a cost. He'd have to leave Valerie alone. He'd have to leave himself alone, that part of him deep down that yearned for normalcy and love and care and a person to live for. Split. Despite all he could do, despite all the good he'd done thus far, he just didn't know if he had the strength to keep it up. Every time he set himself aside to help others, a little piece of him went missing. Now he was able to feel it. The hollowness inside, as if his heart no longer beat with blood and passion, but with cold duty and obligation. He didn't want that. Becoming Axiom Man had been a choice he made because he couldn't look at the other way while others suffered. But now, would that battle ever end? Would he ever be in a position to choose between Valerie and the rest of the world, and no matter what choice he made, it would end up being the right one? His heart ached for her, but it also ached for those outside, right now, on the street, those that needed his help. He set the pitcher down. Gabriel fixed his mask in place and activated his powers. Valerie would have to wait. Thanks for sticking around to the very, very end of the episode. And today I'm going to tell you a childhood joke. This ran around the neighborhood when I was a kid, namely my bay that I lived on. But anyway, here it is. Here's a question for you. What color is a burp? It's purple. Cheers.